listen in, my love. She holds the key. A simple yellow ribbon's what I need to set me free. I wrote and told her, please. Oh, tie a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. It's been 3 long years. Do you still want me? If I don't see a ribbon round the old oak tree, I'll stay on the bus, forget about us, put the blame on me. If I don't see a yellow ribbon round the old oak tree. Now the whole damn bus is cheering, and I can't believe I see 100 yellow ribbons round the old tree. I'm coming home.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
Rate hike. Shooter's wife not released. I'm Michael Toscano. Get ready for another interest rate hike. Ann Cates reports on news coming from the Fed this afternoon.
When Federal Reserve policymakers meet later this month, interest rates could be increased. Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen has signaled that if the economy remains on track, the central bank will raise rates for the first time since December, which was only the second increase in a decade. The odds for a March rate hike had climbed this week to 77%, and the Fed could raise rates several times this year. I'm Ann Cates.
Wall Street not reacting much, with stocks pretty much flat or even down a bit this hour. A federal judge in Florida blocking the release of the wife of Orlando nightclub shooter Omar Mateen. Noor Salman was due to be freed today in San Francisco on a $500,000 bail. Salman charged with aiding and abetting her husband in last June's attack on the Pulse nightclub that left 49 people dead. Mercedes recalling about 354,000 cars and SUVs in the U.S. because a starter part can overheat and cause a fire. I'm Michael Toscano. We now know that Vice President Mike Pence used a personal email account to conduct official state business while he was governor of Florida, and that his AOL account was hacked. Jeff Zeleny has more.
Virtually at every campaign rally, he talked about the Clinton private email server. Well, this is slightly different. He was using an AOL account, so a private email address, if you will, not a private server. Slight difference there, but only a slight one. And he was using that to conduct state business as the governor of Indiana.
Steve Kastenbaum now on an arrest for some of the bomb threats made against Jewish community centers.
His name is Juan Thompson. The 31-year-old was arrested in St. Louis and is expected to be extradited to New York, where he would face federal charges. They described him as a copycat. A wider investigation into over 120 bomb threats continues.
The Pentagon says airstrikes in Yemen have crippled al-Qaeda's ability to carry out terror attacks there. 20 strikes over the Arabian Peninsula yesterday. I'm Michael Toscano.
Sometimes diabetes can feel more like don't-a-beaties. Don't do this, don't forget that. But with a little help from Walgreens, diabetes won't slow you down. Stop by for expert pharmacy care in-store or online via pharmacy chat. Pick up the medications you rely on and get savings on testing supplies from all major brands like Accucheck and Walgreens True Metrics. Walgreens has just what you need to do more with diabetes. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Do you have outstanding federal student loans? Then get ready for a special free offer. Graduate Service Center wants to give you free information to see if you qualify for one lower monthly payment or student loan forgiveness. The call is free, the information is free, and there's absolutely no obligation. See if you qualify for lower monthly payments or loan forgiveness. Call now. 800-801-4950. That's 800-801-4950. Don't wait. Call now. 800-801-4950.
It may be what Donald Trump dreads most, an even more alert White House press corps. And if they're a bit more awake these days, Bob Costantini tells us it's thanks to actor Tom Hanks.
The humming sound of an espresso maker in the back of the White House press room. 13 years ago, actor Tom Hanks visited here looking for a good cup of coffee, only to find a vending machine that occasionally had ants. So he sent his first espresso machine with a second one 6 years later. This time around, Hanks, a supporter of Hillary Clinton, sent a note for the press to keep up the good fight for the truth, a caffeinated morale booster for a press corps often facing a president steamed at the media. Bob Costantini, the White House.
Gee, how much coffee has Bob had over there? Going to Costco for big boxes of coffee, now more expensive. The warehouse retailer raising its annual membership fees for the first time since 2011. Standard membership now $60. Executive membership now $120. I'm Michael Toscano.
News every hour, 24/7, 365. On your radio friend, WRJN.
A humorous and heartfelt comedy, That Darn Plot, runs weekends through March 12th at the Racine Theater Guild. Mark W. Transom is one of the world's greatest playwrights and must create a new play in one night. As he does, the plot takes shape until Mark's estranged son appears as a character and it veers out of control. The line between the story being written and Mark's life becomes blurred, forcing him to face reality. Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. The vice president is in Wisconsin today. Mike Pence is speaking in Janesville after a roundtable with local business leaders. Senator Ron Johnson's telephone town hall meeting Thursday proved almost as raucous as many other in-person town halls Republicans have held since the first of the year. Some constituents say they were put off by the senator, literally phoning it in.
Nobody gets hurt, and it really is a better way to do this.
Yeah, let me just interrupt again. I did it last week. I've done it in the past. I'll do it in the future.
Johnson took questions for about an hour. He's defending the telephone meeting, saying many more people can participate that way as opposed to in person. The sister of John Hall, who was killed by a sheriff's deputy near Merrill, says a brain injury from a traffic crash left him scared for his life. State justice agents are investigating Thursday morning's incident that was described as an armed hostage situation. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
This is the Micro Essentials Minute, where we dig deeper with the agronomy experts at the Mosaic Company.
If you're letting more than 2 years pass between soil tests, you could be missing real opportunities to prepare your fields for higher yields. Hi, I'm Kurt Wolfolk, Senior Agronomist with the Mosaic Company. Today's hybrids and varieties are removing a lot of nutrients from our soil, and those nutrients are being hauled off in the field with the grain. It's important for growers to monitor their soil test levels on a more frequent basis as compared to a decade or two ago. Much like human nutrition, diet for crop systems are very important. Not only do we need to soil test for things like organic matter, phosphorus, and potassium, it's also extremely important to test for things like micronutrients like zinc and boron to really round that crop nutrition program out. It's more important than ever to really monitor those fuel tanks, so to speak, of each nutrient level and see exactly where we're at in the soil.
Brownfield Mobile gives you access to weather, market prices, and the latest agriculture news. Download at iTunes and Android or visit brownfieldagnews.com.
WRJN active weather forecast, some big ups and downs in temperature recently, and they're going to continue. Example, next week at this time, it could be just as cold as it is now, but between now and then, we'll have a big warm-up. Today, chilly, sunshine, and some clouds, high 28, mostly cloudy tonight. There could be maybe a covering to an inch of snow overnight, low 19. Then tomorrow, clouds breaking for some sun, high 38. And Sunday, cloudiness not as cool, with a shower possible in the afternoon, high 50. Then it's likely to go well into the 50s on Monday and Tuesday, only to turn chillier after that and maybe stay below freezing all day at the end of next week. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This is the Cabranes Law Hour, now at 11 minutes after 1 o'clock here on your radio friend, WRJN with us as usual. Well, not as usual, not last week, but attorney John Cabranes, also associate attorney Shanaz Lakdawala, Jordan Schrader AWOL today, it looks like, huh?
Yeah, she's...
We're still trying to figure out where she is.
We don't know.
No show, no call. Uh-oh, yeah. We've got a problem. Anyway, well, welcome back. Now, you had a fun weekend last weekend, Attorney Cabranes.
I did. I grew up in Southern California. I went to high school in Southern California. And, about 6 months ago, a bunch of my high school friends decided that we would have a little get-together. And so we did an Airbnb thing. We rented a house out in Oceanside, California. We all got together for the weekend.
Sounds great.
It was great. I hadn't seen at least two of these people in almost 40 years. And, we were talking before we went on the air, as we all age, skin starts to sag and wrinkles appear and, we change in kind of on the outward appearance changes, but, if you still look at the person, you can see the seed from where that change came from, and the person that you knew in high school. Yeah. And then, as you pointed out, as soon as they open their mouth,
you hear them.
You hear them, and there it is.
I think it's fun to look at, say, first grade pictures, second grade, and then try to pick out people that you know. That's a little more difficult.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, you bet.
Anyway, well, okay, that's the show today. Thanks for being on, Attorney Cabranes.
Thank you for having me.
Our phone number, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. Pretty much fair game today, a potpourri, anything you want to talk about. I know Attorney Cabranes is well-versed in most areas of the law, so feel free to give us a call, 634-9756, 634-WRJN. Might as well say your office number, Attorney Cabranes, 262-638-0529. That's 262-638-0529. And if you give them a call, your first consultation is always free. So we need to talk about something. What strikes your fancy today? What do you think?
Well, Shanaz.
Jump in, Shanaz.
Throw out an idea, Shanaz.
Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakdawala with today's topic.
Let's see.
Sounding like my daughter isn't going to help.
We can talk about what's a topic that's going on right now. We could always talk about immigration, I guess.
We could talk about immigration, although I don't think too many people really want to talk about immigration because it doesn't affect most of our listeners. But and we've actually talked about this a couple of times already over the last few weeks. Of course, the new news was the new executive order on immigration that came out last week, which draconian doesn't really cover it. I speak of this as an immigration attorney who is horrified by that order because it is just absolutely the most heartless, the most mean-spirited thing that I have really seen coming out of a government agency. I mean, to give you an example, it used to be up until apparently recently I can tell you this because I have clients who've experienced this. It used to be that ICE would go to a particular location, and ICE is Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They're kind of like the cops.
Right. We talked about that last week quite a bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that they would go to a house looking for somebody. Maybe somebody hadn't shown up for an immigration court and that there was a deportation order, or they were a bad hombre, as the president describes it, and has committed some foul crime. And they show up at this house to pick him up. And in fact, that person is probably moved, no longer lives there. And the person who answers the door doesn't have any documents, but has never committed a crime. It's one of those people that, the news never tells you about, that come into the country and they're really working, 14 hours a day, holding down two separate jobs, taking care of their family. The kind of people that every community needs to better themselves.
Salt of the earth people.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they pick them up. You're kind of a target of opportunity. And so you answer the door and you're not the guy that they're looking for, but you don't have documents, so off you go. It used to be that they would take you to the immigration offices in Milwaukee. They would book you into the system, And then what they would do is, since you didn't have a record and you weren't a danger to the community in any way, shape, or form, they would release you on what they refer to as parole. We would refer to it in more common terms as a signature bond. They just sign, say, I'll show up whenever it is that you, and wherever it is that you want. And then several months later, they'll send you a notice saying you got to show up at immigration court. Well, last week's executive order, among other things, basically doesn't allow immigration to release those people unless they have some relief, which is usually takes months to develop if it develops at all. And so what has to happen is, in order for you to get somebody released, you now have to go to immigration court in Chicago and ask a judge to release you. Now, if you were held on a criminal charge here in Racine County, there's a Supreme Court decision, I believe it's United States versus Riverside, that basically says that within 72 hours of your arrest, you have to be in front of a magistrate so they can establish probable cause and hold you or give you bond. Well, that doesn't apply in immigration proceedings. And so what winds up happening is when you file for a bond on somebody, it takes about 3 weeks to get in front of a judge. That's 3 weeks where this person isn't working. That's 3 weeks where this person isn't paying their bills. That's 3 weeks where their family is without dad. And it's quite frankly, it's inhumane. I get it. I mean, I get it if the person was, you know, somebody who was a drug dealer or somebody who had been, you know, a child molester or rapist. You know, I get all of that. You want to protect the community.
From some sort of threat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But who are we protecting from a guy who basically has absolutely no record? And what you're doing, whether this guy can eventually defend himself or not, essentially what you're doing is you're throwing a big grenade into the middle of his life and exploding, you know, his life and affecting everybody around him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wish that was the only problem with the immigration order that was signed last week. There are so many problems with that order that they all boil down to the same thing. You know, you basically, you know, categorize all of these people put them in the worst possible light, expedited removals, which up until last week, expedited removals were something that if you were in the country for less than 2 years and they apprehended you within 100 miles of the border, they really didn't have to give you much of a process. They would just basically toss you out of the country. Mm-hmm. That program is now nationwide. You know, mm-hmm. you can say that's good, that's bad, but it's different. You know, I will tell you this, that the executive order, for those of you who've been wondering how the wall is going to be paid for, that executive order gives you a clue as to how the wall is going to be paid for, because in that executive order, all of the departments in the government are directed to examine any aid that we give to the government of Mexico. And my suspicion is that what's going to happen is that, yes, we are going to lay out the money to build that wall. But what we're going to do is we're going to start withholding that money as foreign aid to Mexico and probably other places that that we may have immigration issues with. So, I mean, he's, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, for those of you who voted for this man, and I see that we've got a call, but let me just finish this thought.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who voted for this man, I'm sure that you are just absolutely tickled pink, because he's doing exactly what he said that he was going to do. And, you know, part of the reason why I didn't vote for him, quite frankly, and as one of the one British politician said a few weeks ago, you know, he's the first politician to be condemned for following through on his promises. So those of you who voted for him, you're getting what you want, what you voted for.
Yeah, I want to get back to that, too, and we're done with this caller. Caller, thanks for hanging on. What can we do for you today? Welcome to WRJN.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to say I am tickled pink as a Trump voter. Absolutely tickled pink. I'm tired of paying for immigrants that come over here illegally, and I shell out money after I work all day to support these people who came in our country Illegally.
Well, why don't you tell me?
Obama supporters do not understand. Well, the word illegal means they came over here without our consent.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm not going to cut you off. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to my question. What do you mean by you support them? Because there are federal statutes that not only limit but actually will punish people mm-hmm. who actually receive benefits and they have no documentation. So, what are you talking about? When you say you support them, what are you talking about?
So you're going to tell me that if an illegal couple from Mexico or whatever country you want to name comes over here and pops out four or five or six babies, now they're American citizens, now those babies can go on my welfare bill. That's not right. That's bullcrap.
They're American citizens.
That's why we have laws.
They're American citizens. Tell me.
Correct.
So you're going to tell me that you're going to discriminate.
They wouldn't have been here had the parents followed our law.
No.
Come here illegally.
So you're saying that we're going to now determine that there are going to be classes of U.S. citizens, and so some classes
of
U.S. citizens.
They're not a class. They came over here illegally.
No. I'm talking about the children.
Well, he's saying the parents came illegally, so why should we give all this aid to their offspring?
Parents don't qualify for things like food stamps. They don't qualify for most state aid. They don't qualify for most federal aid. So the children who are U.S. citizens absolutely do. And if you're born in the United States, you have all the rights and privileges of a U.S. citizen. What's the problem with that?
So the five kids that they just spit out in our country, those kids need shelter and food, and you're going to tell me the parents don't benefit from that? They don't benefit from the electricity we help them with? Everything else. It's just not right.
You know,
if they come over here legally, I have nothing against that. Yeah. We'll help them. They're American citizens.
You know,
they've come over here legally.
You know, the problem is that, and I don't know you from Adam, so I'm not necessarily speaking of you, but the problem is that too many people, you know, look at these stupid announcements in Facebook and Breitbart and all of these places that have a definite agenda that they want to push. And the reality is that most of the time that agenda is wrong. It's just simply the facts that they're giving you is wrong. And I'll give you an example. One of the big things that's always floated around is this statement that it's a shame that our veterans get the type of care that they get when illegal aliens, according to what this posting is, illegal aliens, you know, get all these benefits. The fact of the matter is, one has nothing to do with the other. We treat our veterans disgracefully, mm-hmm. okay? And it has nothing to do with the fact that aliens are somehow taking money away from the system, because they're not. Their children are U.S. citizens. Their children get the benefit of our tax money. Now, I'm going to hazard to guess that you don't have much contact with illegal aliens or people who are here undocumented, because if you did, you would know that these are some of the hardest working people that you will ever meet, and that most of them not only get, would find it humiliating to be on federal aid, but not only that, they pay their taxes and on a per capita basis. I can tell you that they pay more taxes than you do because they don't get the deductions that you get. So, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I understand your frustration because I think you are right in that we need to control our borders. I mean, you are absolutely right in that. You are absolutely right in that. But this idea that somehow they are taking from us is not correct. And it's unfortunate because there is a message that people who want to demonize illegal aliens are putting out there, and unfortunately there are a lot of people who don't know the facts and who just go along, and you know that may or may not be you. I mean, you have your opinions and I respect those opinions, and I'm just giving you mine.
All right, let me ask you this as a question. If I went to Mexico illegally from America and crossed into the border of Mexico, what would happen to me as an American in Mexico? What kind of rules do they have?
Well,
illegal border hopping.
Well, I'll tell you, they probably have very similar rules to the ones we have. The difference,
they're enforced.
Well, and the difference is that they don't enforce them, and up until now, they don't. And I can tell you this.
I've done the research on that. Well, they do enforce that.
They don't. They enforce them for Central Americans. They don't enforce them for Americans. And I'll tell you this, because I know people who have gone to Mexico on tourist visas and have stayed in Mexico and have worked in Mexico in the touristy areas in Mexico, and essentially without any kind of issue. And the reality is, and because I can tell you this because I have lived south of the border myself, okay? And I can tell you that what happens is in most of these Latin American countries, when you run afoul of the law, there is nothing that a couple of $100 or a couple of $1,000 can't resolve, because everybody's got their hand out. And if they come to you and they talk to you about some immigration issue, you know, $150 later, your immigration issue is resolved at least momentarily. So that's the reality. That's not what happens here.
Correct. That is their corruption policy down there. I understand. I have several Mexican friends that have come over here legally. I do have friends that have actually immigrated to the United States, and they have families here, or they've married an American. And they all say the same thing. They are totally with Trump, what he's doing right now. It's our laws. They should follow them. We should make it easier for legal immigration and for aliens to come over here into our country and be American citizens or be sworn in as American citizens. But the point I'm trying to make the whole time here is that they started on the wrong foot by coming into our country illegally. Well, and that's where it's got to stop. On top of that, we're letting in who knows what other people, terrorists from other countries maybe, with our porous borders. We need to support that wall being built and have more structure, at least at the borders.
You know,
that includes Canada.
You know what George Patton said about fixed fortifications? George Patton said fixed fortifications are a monument to the stupidity of man. Okay. Anything that you can build, people can get around, or under or over. Okay.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that, and this is just my opinion, you and I don't have a disagreement in terms of controlling our borders, okay? No country can call itself a country if you don't control your own borders. And so, to that extent, I understand your argument, and I agree with your argument, okay? Here's what the problem is, and I've had this same argument with my own wife, okay? So
you'll never win.
I'm always on the wrong end of the argument. But here's the situation. We have essentially invited these people into the country, okay? We haven't enforced our immigration laws the way other countries should. In fact, you know, if you look at Canada and other countries, you know, they have a more tighter controls on their immigration. We haven't enforced our immigration laws, and as a practical matter, because we don't enforce our immigration laws, it's an open invitation to come on up here and come into the country and work.
I agree.
And so in a lot of these instances, we only have to look in the mirror to see where the cause is here. Okay. Now
I agree with you on that. I agree.
So the other thing I'm going to tell you is this. And this is one of the few things that you will ever hear me say that's in agreement with Trump. Mexico should pay for the wall, okay? They're not going to. They may not pay for it directly.
Indirectly.
Yeah. Yep. But Mexico should pay for the wall because, see, here's the reason why I think Mexico should pay for the walls. And anybody who's listening and you want to call in and tell me that I'm an idiot, you can feel free to do so.
You can take it.
I can take it. I'm a big boy. You know, what's happening in Mexico is you've got corruption, you've got violence, you've got high unemployment and incredible rates of poverty in Mexico. And so what happens is that people, normal, everyday, decent people, are coming north to try to get a job and to dig out of this cycle of poverty that exists in Mexico. They send money back to Mexico, and they're fleeing the violence that's in Mexico. So what's the problem? It's a huge benefit to Mexico, because if you think about it, any normal country that would have high unemployment, high rates of violence, would have a revolution on their hands. The people would rise up and the government would fall. But that's not going to happen with Mexico. And the reason it's not going to happen with Mexico is because they have a safety valve. Their safety valve is these people come up north, they find jobs, so they're no longer in Mexico to stir up trouble. And more importantly, they send money back to Mexico to help out their families. So that money gets spent in Mexico, and the Mexican economy then is benefited by that. Mm-hmm. So Mexico has absolutely no intention of changing this system, okay? And so if we're going to change, if we're going to actually crack down on the border, you know, the cost, some of that cost should fall on Mexico's shoulder because they are the primary beneficiaries of this.
I agree.
All right. I didn't think all you right, guys well, thank would agree. You. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a good one, sir. You know, this is this. I've often thought, and I don't know anything about politics. I know I don't keep up with it as much as I should. But it seems like we are an attractive place to be, like you said, if you're an impoverished Mexican person. Now, if they come here and we give them a job, isn't that kind of our fault?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, a lot, and, you know, the fallacy, there is a fallacy here. And and the part of the fallacy, excuse me, folks, I've been sick for about 3 weeks, and so I'm fine now except for the cough that just won't go away.
We'll try to lose the mic when you cough, but we'll muddle through it.
The you know, here's the thing. A lot of people just think that the people that come up here are agricultural workers, and in large part, they are, and they in fact are. These are people who grew up on farms. They understand farming. They understand cows. They understand horses. They understand, you know, cattle in general. They, you know, they've, you know, grown up, you know, picking fruits and vegetables and things like that. They've been working since they were, you know, 11, 12 years old. And so they come up here, and in a lot of cases, they start working in the fields, or they start working at a dairy farm, or they start working at some type of a horse, whatever you want to call those things,
ranch,
horse ranch. Okay, you know, and a lot of them start their own little mom and pop businesses, and they pay taxes, mm-hmm. You know. But the bottom line is, it's very attractive in the United States because there's opportunity. United States. In the eyes of the world, in the eyes of their own citizen, in the eyes of the average American citizen, I don't think we look at the United States anymore as a land of opportunity. But the rest of the world sure looks at us that way.
Hi, caller. You're on WRJ, and you have a question for Attorney Cabranes.
I got a little bit about the immigration. I think that a lot of it could be straightened out if it just seems like it's all negative. You know, where I noticed for years and years and years where people get mad, like, let's say, these painters. Okay, the two brothers do painting. They charge this amount to do the painting. And then Spanish guys come, and they paint the house, but there's four of them. There's usually more of them. And they get in there and they get the job done, and the American men, let's call them that, they feel like that was their job. That these Mexicans, they come in and a bunch of them go do the job, and they do very good work, and it sounds kind of strange, but it's like. The Americans are jealous what they're doing, so they put a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well, you're saying that they just come in and undercut our workers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that's a new idea.
Yeah, I don't think.
Right. Well, I don't understand why they don't have it. So, okay, we're going to let you come to this country. You're going to follow all the rules in this 5 years that you're here. The fifth year, you're going to take these classes to be an American. But in this 5 years coming to our country, if you ever get arrested, drunk driving, drugs, theft, whatever, then no, you're not going to be able to become American citizen, and out the door you go. And it makes it hard for them to know when they come to our country, hey, we're not going to put up with the shenanigans. You're welcome. Come work, pay taxes, do everything. It would be great if you want to follow the 5 years, become an American citizen. But, hey, listen, you're not going to drive a car without insurance. You're not going to come here and get busted for the drugs, stealing cars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if they follow all of these, which they're really putting their full participation in being a citizen, which is a right to be a citizen, and we're all lucky because we were born here and Grandma came across on the boat and all of that, I think that enough of the arguing should be over with and
just enforce the laws
down and figure out something.
He's got a good plan. Sounds like he should be running for a seat in Congress.
Yeah, you should run for Congress. You got a good plan there.
No,
he's obviously thought it through.
My boss that runs my life is Jesus Christ, and we're all the same. So as we're here on this earth, I hope these people realize that this body that you're in, black, Chinese, Mexican, or whatever, this is just a tool that we're using while we're here. When we're gone, hello.
Yeah, we're here, and
I gotta interrupt you because we gotta go to the news. But I thank you for your call. I don't disagree with a lot of what you say. I think there are some practical considerations, and we can certainly talk about that after the news.
Thanks for the call, sir. We appreciate it. Cabranes Law Hour, 634-9756. That's 634-WRJN. If you'd like to call the office of Attorney Cabranes, 262-638-0529. We are a little late for news. We will break for news and be back for more of the Cabranes Law Hour here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
This program is brought to you by Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. The show is intended to provide legal information, not legal advice. Attorneys have neither the time or the information during this show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC, make no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular legal issue. Our phone number here is 634-9756 or WRJN. The office of Attorney Cabranes, 262-638-0529. And we've had some interesting calls today, that's for sure. We're talking about immigration and the laws and what people know and don't know. And it's not as simple, I think, as some people make it out to be. They say, why doesn't everybody just follow the laws and come over here? We'd love to have you here and realize the American dream, but just do it by the book. And you say the book is a little complicated to understand, and a lot of people don't quite grasp all the ins and outs of what people have to go through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just take a look at Mexico for this, for example. You know, there's essentially a number of different visas that you can use to get into the country. There's the there's H-1Bs, which are basically employment visas. That's complicated because generally you have to have some higher level of education, a highly skilled trade, something along those lines to come into the country. And I think we'd all agree that we want more of those people in the country. And then you have things like F visas, which are family visas, or IR visas, which are immediate relative visas. You know, and people say, well, you know, why can't you come in legally? Well, the IR visas usually require a familial connection. So it's a father ask or a mother asking for their minor children, or a spouse, U.S. citizen spouse, petitioning for her husband. You know, things along those lines. And actually, that moves along fairly quickly if you meet the requirements. You know, you're talking about maybe somewhere between a year and a year and a half for that whole process to be completed. Much more complicated are the actual family visas. And what I mean by this is, you know, what happens in general terms is that when you hit 21 years of age, you age out of the system. So what that means is if I'm a parent and I want a petition for my son, let's say I emigrated from Mexico, I am a U.S. citizen.
So you're a parent who is a U.S. citizen now. You've gone through all the hoops. You're a citizen here.
Right.
Okay.
And I want a petition for my son. Okay. A lot of it's going to depend on whether my son is single or is married. Mm-hmm. Okay. And obviously, at this point, he's over 21 years of age. If he is single, you have to go through a visa bulletin. So basically, with the way that works is you fill out a form. It's called an I-130. You submit the I-130 to the government. It takes about 6 months for the government to approve it. The moment the government gets it, they give you what's called a priority date. And so that priority date is the date when there will be a visa available for you. Okay. Now, if I have a single 21-year-old son, the visa bulletin now is granting visas for people who submitted those applications on or before May 15th of 1995.
Wow.
Almost 22 years ago. The F2A visa, that's between residents petitioning for spouses or minor children. That for Mexico, that's not too bad. That's April 22 of 2015. So they're only backed up about 2 years on that. The F2B, which is a resident petitioning for their single adult child. Okay, if you're married, you're out of luck because there is no visa category for you. But for petitioning for a single adult child as a resident, the visa bulletin for Mexico stands at November 22nd, 1995. Again, we're dealing with 22 years. If I'm a citizen and I have a married child over the age of 21. The visa bulletin is standing at December 22nd, 1994. And the best one is brothers, okay? So my brother made it up north. He fulfilled all the requirements. He got himself, became a resident. He became a citizen afterwards. Now he's petitioning for me. Well, that F4 visa is available to people right now who filed on or before the 1st of June of 1997. So essentially what we're looking at is these huge waits if you're from Mexico to get in. And I got to tell you, you know, if I have a relative up north, and even if that relative had an opportunity to petition for me, the question is, do I live in a state of poverty, in a state of desperation, surrounded by violence? Do I want to live that 22 years, or do I want to take my shot and cross up north and be with my family, be reunited with my family in a lot of cases, and get a job and live the American dream? And, you know, as we were saying just before we went off the air for the news, mm-hmm. A lot of us in this country don't necessarily look at this country anymore as a land of opportunity because, I mean, we've had some setbacks over the last few years. And I think it's... You know, we've become a nation of, a little bit in some ways of pessimists. But if you look around the world, they're beating a path to this country. They still see what Ronald Reagan referred to as the shining city on the hill, and they want to be here. You know what? It says a lot about us We've welcomed them in the past. We've welcomed them illegally or legally. And I say that we've welcomed them illegally because we have. I mean, we haven't.
And we give them jobs.
We don't prevent them from working. you know, when we find who they are, we don't necessarily move on them. When we catch them crossing the borders, we don't deport them. We just return them over, you know, we return them to the border and send them across.
Yeah, where they came from.
That's right. It's not a deportation. That's not a deportation under the law. You know, so, you know, we have been very, you know, we've played this game over, you know, at least my lifetime, and I'm, you know, pushing 60 at this point, that we've played this game with these people. Well, we've sort of, with one hand, we've invited them to come because it benefits us because, you know, like I say on a number of occasions, you want to see a $5 tomato, you mandate, you know, you basically get rid of all the migrant workers.
Yeah.
You'll get a $5 tomato tomorrow. You know, so, you know, we've benefited from this. And for anybody to say that we haven't benefited from it, we do. I mean, do we pay a cost? We also pay a cost. But I think that the benefits have far outweighed the costs, you know, but again, no country can call itself a country if you don't control your borders. So what we need is some type of rational immigration policy. And it's not an immigration policy that says nobody can come in. Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, is completely anti what he refers to as anti-amnesty. So in his mind, anything that would allow people to stay here would be quote-unquote amnesty. But even more bizarrely, he's also a fierce opponent of legal immigration. So apparently he wants to roll back legal immigration too, and apparently it's America for Americans. And I would tell you that is probably the most un-American thing that I have ever heard.
Well, it's like the old comic strip where the Statue of Liberty would have a big no vacancy sign flashing. I mean, that's not what this country was founded on.
No. I mean, and Shanaz, I mean, you're what, second generation? Or first generation?
First. Both my parents are from India. They came here back in 88. They're both citizens now.
But yay. Yeah. Well, good for you guys. Hi, you're on with Attorney Cabranes. Can you turn down your radio, please?
Yes, hello.
Okay, you're back.
My name is Dave, and I'm from Kenosha, Racine.
Okay.
How are you today?
Good.
Listen, I'm really enjoying the program that you're playing on right now. It's so relevant. I was born in Panama, raised as an American overseas, and my mom's Hispanic from South America. And, you know, I came to the States when I was about 21, off and on, even though I was an American citizen. I've seen the opportunity. This country is fantastic. This country does everything it needs. Now, I've worked with Hispanics for the last 11 years in their church and in church as a pastor. And I've seen the suffering that these people go through. And I will tell you that most people prefer to be here illegally, and then being particularly in Mexico, and watching how I've seen how much they have suffered being back in Mexico. And I think any father, me being a male, any father who sees their children going hungry and not knowing the safety of their children, etc., would take that risk. And I think we really need to expedite and making sure that legality is made easier. I have teenage kids that were brought over here, not myself, but as in the youth group, teenage kids that were brought over here against, and now they're finally, I'm glad we had DACA, but I have kids that have no future. And it's just tough. We need to do something, because they're still going to be here. And Spanish still is growing, at least. That's all I got to say, but thank you so much for the radio show. It's been fantastic.
Well, I'm glad you called in, and I agree with you. You know, I probably work with a lot of the same people that you work with. And, you know, these are salt of the earth. I mean, mm-hmm. These are the type of people that you want as your neighbors, you want as your coworkers.
Absolutely.
They would give you their last morsel of food, okay, because that's the way they were brought up. And you know, I'll tell you, if there is a celebration every summer out in Union Grove, and I forget what it's called, But it's essentially where the folks, I believe it's from Guanajuato, bring back some of their traditions, and some and one of their traditions is apparently it's a community feast where people bring, you know, people just bring and donate, and right there everybody eats and drinks, everybody shares the cost, and that's, you know, that's what you want in a community where everybody benefits, and everybody
that is so true.
So the assault on the Hispanic community, and because, you know, you can say, well, you know, we're talking about Europeans too, and you're talking about Canadians, and you're talking about the Chinese, but you know, when Trump made his presidential announcement, he wasn't talking about Canadians, he wasn't talking about Chinese, he wasn't talking about Europeans. He was talking about Mexicans who come into this country to deal drugs, to rape, and to murder. And the fact of the matter is that you're talking about maybe 1% of the people who come into this country wind up doing something like that. The rest of them are hardworking people, are people that you are proud to have in your community. And to see the effects, and honestly, you know, since Trump took over, I don't know what your experience has been, but the level of fear in that community is impressive and depressing, because nobody should live with that level of fear that somebody's going to knock on your door and take you away from your family. So,
as a pastor right now, I've had people come up to me and they come and say, "Listen, here's my." They want to give me their papers showing, you know, their passports and starting to go, "If something happens to me and my wife, please take my child."
Well, you know, we we're running out of time, so I'm gonna have to make this really quick. But you know, at the offices, what we're doing is we're setting up powers of attorney for people who have properties. We're doing powers of attorney for people who have bank accounts and businesses. We're doing we're just setting up the paperwork for temporary guardianships. In case ICE comes in and takes mom and dad.
That's at WRJN?
At Cabranes Law Offices.
We're a radio station. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We do the best we can.
I'm a lawyer in Racine. So, you know, and this is the community that I deal with. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is if the worst case scenario happens, you have all the paperwork you need to have other people handle your affairs. So, you know, we're trying to do what we can with the, you know, with the resources that we've got. You know, it is what it is. But I thank you for calling, and it looks like we're completely out of time.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Have
we appreciate
a great day. Thank you.
You too.
Okay, and that's going to have to be the last word. Our phone number for Attorney John Cabranes, 262-638-0529. We'll do it again next week. Attorney Cabranes and Associate Attorney Shanaz Lakhdawala, thanks for joining us for the Cabranes Law Hour once again.
Thank you for having us.
And we will do it again next Friday, 1 o'clock, here on your radio friend, WRJN.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.